I'm trying to put this thing in the damn notes and it's not letting me, like, really?
Wait, what are you trying to put?
I have to toggle all the way down. All the way down.
You sound like that part. This is random. One of my favorite parts on Toy Story 2. Jason Alexander, George Costanza, talks for the baddie in that film, and he's leaving his condo, and he's like, I just can't believe it. Now I gotta drive all the way to work. And while he's saying that, he drives across the street to his job. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, I forgot, I gotta drive all the way to work. And he showed him, like, back up, and he just goes across the street, and he's like, oh, made it. And he just busted it. I'm like, this is George Costanza. He's so good at just yelling. Rapping Atlanta. I'm Mita Sharice.
And I'm Nikki.
And in this podcast, we have a frank, honest, and open conversation about the FX show Atlanta.
We have noticed that there are similar features in each show, and during our discussion, we offer our impressions on what those features are. There's a That's So Atlanta moment in each episode that most clearly and accurately depicts the spirit of quirk that is Atlanta and life in the American South.
Dariusisms highlight the special flavor the character Darius brings to the show because he is easily one of the most layered, complex, and compelling characters on television.
There always seems to be a mystical element or some strange thing that happens beyond all logical reason and sometimes scientific explanation. We've all experienced those kinds of moments.
And finally, the SGR moment is very plainly the moment in each show when shit got real and we are reminded that life is not a game and desperation has the power to motivate any and every possible action.
Today, we're reviewing season 3, episode 5, Cancer Attack, directed by Hiro Murai and written by Donald Glover and Jamal Olori. When the crew realizes Al's phone has disappeared during a concert, they come across a very strange character with interesting insights.
Socks.
Yeah, socks can socks can go to hell. Wiley can go to hell. The security guy who was harassing Earn can go to hell. Like, I have so much more sympathy for Earn's character this season. And I'm starting to realize that he's been the same guy. We weren't seeing evidence of the guy that he was during that first season. Because I think we were mostly seeing things from outside of what he was experiencing. And in fact, I think that we don't really get to see how his mind works until the last episode of the first season, where we see that he's living out of a storage unit. So he's putting everything on the line to make this work. It's a do or die situation. And I got to tell you, I can relate to that. I've been in that situation, you know, so I have so much respect for him, so much more respect for his hustle, and also so much more empathy for what he's experiencing, because it was in this episode I realized that he suffers all those microaggressions that people who have reached a certain level in America's racial progression. You know, the Black people who enter into the middle class and enter into the upper echelons of society, they are the ones now who are on the front lines of racial interactions. And so they're getting the shit. And that's who Earn is, you know. Whereas like Al and Darius can somehow stay kind of free of it. You know, they're also suffering in their own way. They're victims of racism in their own way. But Earn is on the front lines because he's having to deal with white people day in and day out in conducting the business. So that first microaggression with the security check, the dude comes in with the coffee, the guy just nods at him. You know, Earn comes in, he's got to read the credential and make a note on his clipboard. Bullshit. I was pissed.
And pissed. After it was obvious that Earn had already been through there a couple of times. Like, there's not a whole lot of Black people here. Like, you know, Santa Claus time is over. It's it is me. Another thing, you were saying that we didn't really have sympathy for Earn, but also I think it's, we always knew that he had it in him, mm-hmm. which is shown by in the first season, don't remember which episode, when he did what he did to get Paperboy's underground single played on the radio. He's always shown that, like, when it comes down to it, he would just sometimes not seize the opportunity. Sometimes he made stupid mistakes. I think it's two things. I think it's now he has more resources at his disposal to show what it is that he can do, like on a more consistent basis, because in mm-hmm. seasons one and two, they're just trying to make it, like, you know, season one is like even figuring out like, oh, hey, this is something that I can do after a trauma that has still gone like like they haven't explained what happened. But when we meet Earn, he looks shell-shocked. Yeah. He looks like he's been through something. And now you bringing up all the microaggressions. We know he was at Princeton, I believe. So I'm sure that was just one long microaggression, which is mm-hmm. why I think that he can handle it in a way where he just usually, like when something happens, he usually does that step back, like almost Jim Halpert, like look at the camera, like really, it's like it's happened to him so often. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because he has more resources at his disposal. And he's also learning. Like, it's like when you're trying to get good at something, you're gonna mess up. You're gonna, like, you know, let somebody punk you. You're gonna miss out on your chance and not like seize the opportunity. At the end of season two, Earn showed what he was made of and what he was willing to do mm-hmm. when he saw that he was about to be usurped. Now, maybe it was selfish because he's also just trying to eat, but also, like, you know, like that's his cousin and he did the normal thing that anybody would do if they're being threatened. Like, he, you know, he stood up for himself and he offed the other person like he was supposed to. And so now, just watching him command everything, it's like, yeah, he's always been this person, but he has not always walked in it. But also, he hasn't always been able to, like, what do we say, like, in education constantly, like, people are assuming that Black kids have no intelligence, you know, that Black and brown kids are less than, but they have not been provided the resources and the environment in which to thrive. And we know that they would, because without, they are still thriving and still outpacing their counterparts on just how creative, like, we can be with nothing. So I think, you know, to our credit, he wasn't showing us nothing, you know, but now it's like, do you know who I am? And he does it with just this, he's not like over the top. Like when he told the guy, hey, I'm gonna need you to get the ginger ale out. And the guy's like, why? And he's like, because we said ginger beer. He yeah. didn't, you know, he could have been all paperboy about it, mm-hmm. but he just kind of told him calmly, which is way more effective, because that guy like looked like, oh my God, I'm gonna lose my internship. He's like, I'm on it. Like, he didn't have to go crazy, which is why it's ridiculous that the other man is treating him as if he's like a bull in the china shop. He's the most chill person there.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned that Al and Darius can kind of still be themselves. They don't have the responsibility. And mm-hmm. it irritates me a little bit. It's like, you know, they can have their little like temper tantrums. Darius doesn't really have temper tantrums, but Darius is very singular minded. He's infuriating sometimes. He's like having a toddler on the road with you. It's like, man, serious things are going on. And he's like, if you just look at this map, you know, yeah. I would have killed him. Like, he actually kind of made me mad. Like, he made me feel like in that bartering, the bartering episode when he told Earn like I could turn this into more money, but neglected to tell him in a few months.
Like, yeah.
And then when somebody's like, hey dude, like, what, he's like, oh, well, all right. He's never bothered. But Paperboy can be a diva. Like, he can still act like he's in the A because he's the talent. And now Earn has all this responsibility on him. They made fun of him about sounding white, or like, you know, talking about the Dow Jones and diversifying your portfolio, mm-hmm. but they need Earn. Because yeah. in those spaces are navigate things that they needed to navigate to make sure the money is flowing, unless they had earned.
He's the bridge. He's the bridge. And
but they go clown him for it while like walking over the bridge. But it's like, but if you ain't had earned, people be like, I am not dealing with you. Like, you are uncouth. Like, you're too unpredictable. Like, there's insurance policies out on stuff. Like, you like Paperboy, and we talked about this already, but like, he can get to the point where people will probably not want to work with him anymore because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And so he needs Earn. And it brings me to just like a comment that he made where he looked like he was worried about Aaron, but he also looked like he missed his friend. But at the same time, I wanted to kick the TV when he was like, man, you always seem busy. Yeah, nigga, for you.
Girl. Yes. Hey,
how I know you I jumped, but like, I was like,
no, but because I was thinking this all while you were saying, it's like Paperboy has just been, you know, he's been living his dream. Actually, we later find out in the episode, he wasn't necessarily his dream. It was just a thing to do, you know, but hey, how you been? Like, you haven't talked to your cousin in all this time. He's making moves to you. Oh, you seem always busy. Maybe it's because he is truly always busy, but making sure that you're getting what you need to get paid. Right. So you're not out there slanging anymore. You're actually a legitimate businessman, entertainer now because of all the hard work Earn is doing behind the scenes. You know,
all the not sexy stuff that allows you to be able to just get $20,000, that allows you to be able to stay in the best jail that I've ever seen, mm-hmm. with a concierge. like that is because of the politicking that Earn does. And make no mistake, I'm not upset with him for kind of like, you can tell he misses Earn.
Yeah.
But the way that he approached it was with an attitude. It wasn't with a like, hey man, you know, it must be hard, like working for me, kind of like taking care of me, but then like, you know, like, let's try to balance our familial relationship. Because what I'm worried about is Paperboy and his, he's kind of irrational and he's impulsive. I'm worried that something crazy is going to happen where he's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you know, I need you to be my friend and family again. So I'm going to get somebody else. Like, I'm like, the way he looked when Earn, because Earn kind of was like, yeah, I'm busy, and really wasn't like plugged into him, mm-hmm. because he was at work. Like, Paperboy was having fun. But when he walked out, Al looked super lonely. And I could see Al, I hope I'm wrong, making the decision, not out of spite, but just out of like, this is changing our relationship too much. Like, I want my friend cousin back. So I'm gonna transfer this. Like, I found myself thinking, I'm glad that Earn picked up another client.
Yeah. But then it's also like referencing other episodes where we felt like Al was saving Earn's day. Now we see that Earn is saving Al's day, like, all the time in ways that Al doesn't even realize.
He does not know. And I don't think he appreciates it, maybe because he doesn't know. And Al's, he's kind of a jerk sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And I feel like it's a microcosm because I know I have personally experienced this. I'm not going to say that, oh yeah, I've been Black people's saviors, like, you know, tramping through the wilderness of white people lands. But there are times where I do very much feel that way. Like, and I know you've experienced this where you've been the only Black person in a space. So you have to represent for the whole race and you're experiencing the microaggressions, the slights, the, you know, the clandestine little surreptitious movements that can happen or experiences that can happen to you when you're in all white space. And you either don't have the vocabulary or the will to explain that experience to Black folks, both at home, but they're just like, you come back and you're like, oh yeah, I was over here. Nigga, you a sellout. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You have no idea what I have to face going into that predominantly white place,
yeah,
feeling unsafe from head to toe, but still understanding that I'm representing all of y'all, you know, and trying to open the door for you, mm-hmm. and you're gonna call me a fucking sellout.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's why
that is a privilege. That is a privilege of ignorance.
So
it really is.
In that way, I definitely feel for Earn. I feel for him. The white boy walking in, Wiley, we find out his name is later, Folk's nephew. He walks in, he ends up on stage. After the security guard has given Earn all of that trouble for nothing. And this dude
Well, that's
is
because
on...
he didn't even look up when Wiley
no!
walked by. All he had to do was this, and he got by them. But after the security guard harassed Earn, but also after we see Earn, after the guy holds him up again, he joins the security team, and you can hear him saying, there's too many people walking around here. I want you to make sure that people don't just have access to Paperboy. I also see this. It was like a list of things. And it's like, they were like, okay, chief. And then like got back on their iPhones or something.
Yeah.
He literally said what he said. And you look up and this fool is just on this, it's just on stage and looks genuinely shocked that he was yelled at and then like runs off, you know. So yeah, so what it opens like, you know, Earn is basically, I was proud of him. Like he was a boss. He was just like calmly, you know, taking care of things. He gets harassed, he walks up with the security team. And then is that when we, I think that's when we switch to Al and Darius. But like Darius is like clearing off the table of like M&Ms and other things.
And talking about how the place is haunted and we need to like.
Yeah, he has like an original like map and there's four or five rooms that are unaccounted
for. How the fuck
for.
Did he get that? How did the fuck did he get a.
And that's what Al starts to say. And then he's like.
Never mind.
I don't want to know because plausible denial. Like, I don't know what kind of bureaucratic crimes this is to this.
It doesn't even
and it
matter.
It did look like the original. It looked like this tattered blue thing. Like, who just has that?
I don't know. I don't. Darius.
But knowing Darius that fool, because you know where you're going to go on tour like months before you go. I bet he got his little copy and immediately started like reaching out to like the Budapest Bureau of Blueprints. Because he knows so much about just like each place.
And also because he's African. So I wanted to know how many Black people are in Hungary. So still the number of African residents in Hungary remains small. Some 7,200 people, according to 2020 data.
Wow.
And they're African. They're not Black. They're African. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I imagine him, like, I would love to see an episode where we see Darius's Nigerian side comes out, you know, because having been married to a Nigerian person, they can turn it on and turn it off. I like to see him turn it on if he's able to do that. If
yeah, we keep they're code switching like yeah. We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be nice to see. It'd be nice if they have that either happen this season or next season.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, like, if they don't do it, I wonder if it's like, well, Lakeith Stanfield's accent sucks, so we can never do that.
We can't do that.
It would have to be good. Like, it would have to be on point, or they would get so much hate.
Or at least have his parents visiting and actually have, like, Nigerian people with a Nigerian accent, you know, so we can see how he relates to them. That would be
interesting. I also want to find out about his balls getting smashed. That is the second time he brought that up.
Yeah, he has brought it. Yeah, yeah. His and it seems like it's, you know, I guess if your balls got smashed, it would kind of sit there with you for a lifetime.
It also makes me wonder if he was normal before the ball smashed. Like, is that what did it? Is that what made you?
I see. Like, yeah, a testicular smashing. I feel like it would change somebody. I want to know what the fuck a cancer attack is. I would like to know what a cancer attack is.
I think it was made up because the little boy, because like they were the ones that had the phone. And I was like, no, but that turned out to be real. Like, did that really just mean like, depending on what type of cancer, like if he was just having like a pain crisis or like whatever accounts for a pain crisis with whatever cancer he has, not sure. Or he could have been lying. To be a Make-A-Wish kid, they didn't call it Make-A-Wish, they called it something else, but it's Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
Like, I did have the thought, like, you know, people do that, or, like, people joke about doing that. Like, I want to meet Beyonce, so, like, I'm going to pretend, like, such and such. So, if you want to get out or, like, cause attention to yourself, like, if you are known to have a terminal illness and, like, you're at this concert, no one is going to think anything ill of you. So, if you're like, oh, everybody's going to be like, they're at the ready. So if I wanted to just be like, I'm having a cancer attack, you know, which sounds like something that a kid would make up. But the fact that none of the adults were like, what kind of cancer do you have that it attacks? Like, it's like, that's the point of cancer. It's always attacking you right now.
Yeah. I tried. I was like, is there really a cancer attack? Like, of all the years I've known, and Americans have cancer. Like, a lot of us get diagnosed with millions by the millions each year are diagnosed with cancer. So I'm just, in all my years of being related to people who have cancer, who have died from cancer, I've never heard of them. Oh, can't go because I'm having a cancer attack right now.
Cancer attack happens when you find out you're at, and because it's bullshit. Like, I think it was just bullshit. I think it was like, it's just like, maybe the people are scammers. Really, like, I did have that thought, because you're having a cancer attack, but when you see Earn, you're like, if it just were paper boy, I would do it. It's like, why are you being valiant for paper? Like, you're not his soldier. Like, that just seemed like a moment to have some attention on you. Like those people that like make their kids sick because they're like crazy. I think that this little boy might be just the ringleader. And I have to believe that that has to be it because they do everything intentionally. So they could have written the sick kid in to have a red herring or to just kind of like comment on like that shit does happen where people will lie about things. There was something in the in the news, I don't know how recently, but like or someone was lying about having a disease. So I kind of wondered, like, I wonder if that's just like a passing comment on that, or it could have literally been so that we could think that the kid did have the phone. But I wondered about Sox from the beginning. Now, when they found the Wiley kid, then I was like, oh,
yeah, okay. He's got it. Yeah.
Not, but
going back to the cancer attack and the made up ailments, that kind of reminds me of my first husband. He's from Detroit. Oh, I should not bring up Michigan. He was from Detroit. That's
why he acted like that when I mentioned. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like, wow, what did Detroit do?
Sorry. So he was from Michigan, and he used to talk about how people would purposefully injure their kids to get a crazy check. Stop it. Oh, yeah. We get crazy checks down here in New Orleans all the time.
I was in the education system. Now, what I didn't witness was injured, but I witnessed going there and acting plum fool. Yes, that's real. But I never saw anybody like hurting their children, but they would be like, I take this test, be crazy. And they would collect the check or sell the pills on the street that they were getting.
No, they would purposefully, according to him, they would purposely harm their children with a head injury or bodily injury so that they could get a crazy check. Now, this was weird to me because my mother has worked for, well, my mother, before she retired, she worked for the Regional Center of East Bay, which specifically worked with people with developmental disabilities. So all of this was like, what are you talking about? Like somebody would make their child, their family member, purposefully have some sort of ailment to collect a check? Like what? But okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really sad, but I'm like, yeah, get to the shocking part. People are crazy. People are insane. I've seen so much because you can spot the kids where it's like, all right, a little bit too much mustard. Like, you're not, there's nothing wrong with it.
Wow, that just blew me away. I mean, this says so much about the state of society. Like, we're supposed to be the wealthiest country in the world, and people are resorting to turning their kids to, you know, well, I can't say the R word. My mother sure did. But anyway, to result in turning their kids to special needs children. I love you, Mom. My mom's the best. Anyway.
Who do you? People are going to be like, when we have our first live show, is your mama here?
My mom is awesome. I'm sorry. My mom is awesome. Okay. So anyway. So this cancer attack happens. Earn investigates the kid, finds out he doesn't have a phone, and then we go back to the room, and Sox is sitting there. And when I first watched the episode, I went along with the main characters, like, yeah, of course this weird Wiley person has the phone. He showed up on stage, you know, but in the second and third viewings, I'm just like, this dude, he is just overreacting, and he's always there. He was there when Al set the phone on the table and left to go meet with he was the only one in the room, but they never suspected. And that begs the question for me, like, why are you letting this dude travel with you anyway?
At the end of the last episode,
at the
end of episode 3.
Yeah.
They all had the same look on their faces. Like they didn't like what was happening. The fact that Sox is in it. And I don't understand why they did not kick him out. I don't get it. In my opinion, it does not gel with the way that they are. Like, this isn't your first time in Europe. You're not like trying to ingratiate yourself in order to get fans. Y'all have shown us over and over again that like you are there. You have made it. Mm-hmm. People do anything for you. They all obviously had this look, like especially Paperboy. Like when they realized that Sox were there, it was like the air was sucked out of the van. But no one said get out. And when I saw Sox was still there on this episode, I'm like, all right, there's a reason. There's a reason for this. And who are you? Like, and why are y'all just, this dude is a hanger on. There was nothing in episode three that indicated that like he comes with the tour. Like, yeah. Like how when Earn walked into the party and he already knew the guy who he ends up ripping off later, you know, who he was like, oh, like my wife's in a girl. You can tell like, okay, this is somebody that they have had, this is a contact. This is somebody that he now knows. Sox just came out of nowhere. And since he's latched on to Darius and like now he's in, and I just think it's uncharacteristically stupid and naive of them. You got somebody hanging in your inner circle.
Yeah.
Like, he's too close to the throne. Like, that doesn't make sense to me at all.
So I'm wondering what his relevance is and why they would hand him the phone, you know, where he talks about being white Liam Neeson. Now this took me on a research tangent, because the whole idea of Liam Neeson, I was like, wait a minute, Liam Neeson is Irish. And
he said some crazy shit a few years ago.
Yes, I was reminded of that. But, you know, I love TikTok now. Initially, I was not an early adopter. I was just like,
really?
No, this was like, no, because it felt like digital blackface all day long. You know, I had that girl.
Our life is digital blackface.
Hadn't tuned into Black TikTok. Well, now I feel welcome and appreciated and celebrated. But, you know, like outside of Black TikTok, I was like, this feels like Black digital blackface. But so there's this TikTok. I will post it in the show notes. This TikTok about this guy who was explaining how Irish people were Black and they weren't not considered white until they came to America. And they made a very like concerted effort to adopt whiteness. You know, just like what I mentioned before, how immigrants come over here from Europe and they're not white there, but they're white here, and they fully embody whiteness to take advantage of all of the benefits that comes from being white in America.
The Irish for sure, especially through the police and fire departments.
Exactly. The Irish did that. But this TikTok, do we have a minute? We don't have to put this in the actual episode, but I want you to see this, like at least see a part of it. Share my screen. Da, da, da. So here and here. Okay, so controversial conquer. You know, it's the first time I actually heard his name. Wait a minute.
He called himself a conquer because he's got straight hair. Is that kind of like that kind of conquer?
Girl, I don't even know. Let me stop sharing because I didn't share my.
You didn't optimize sound for video?
I didn't. Okay.
I'll do that as soon as I wake up in the morning. After my son.
Irish were originally not considered white is because the Irish people were actually Black. And I had two people come under my comment and call me liars and say I was just making up shit. But what they don't know is that I got receipts. Let's talk about it. This book right here, Whence the Black Irish of Jamaica. Typical of the Black Irish in Jamaica. Now let's read the bio. Describes the little known facts that the Black Irish and Scots who were deported and enslaved in Jamaica. The book is complete with images of these Black indigenous Europeans, that's going to ruffle some feathers, that have been forgotten by most historians. Thus, this book opens an entirely new area of study that should be conducted to flesh out the incomplete history of the transatlantic slave trade. The acceptance and documentation of enslavement of Black West Africans is well known. However, there needs to be more known about these Black Europeans who were deported and enslaved in Jamaica.
Wow. It goes on from there. It's a four-part series. I'll include those in the show notes, where he talks about how Jamaicans have a similar accent to Irish, if you really listen to them, because a lot of them were Irish initially. They were Black Irish. When this dude says white Liam Neeson, I'm remembering that Sox, they met up with Sox in London. You know, the British and the Irish just have beef for years, and they have all these ideas about the Irish or whatever, Ulster and the IRA and all of that. That stuff goes back centuries. But I don't know if some of them, like today, consider Irish to be white people. Some of them probably don't, which is why he said white Liam Neeson. I'm like, y'all, I'm I'm just wondering, okay, am I the dork that understands that connection, or was that intentional in this show? I feel like knowing what I know.
It was intentional. Dummies do not write the show. But it's smart because you can know that connection, or it just makes sense because by this point, it's like Sots is just so random and crazy. It's like the other side of like a Dariusism. Like he says things, but like you can connect it to something, which you can connect to the white Liam Neeson thing too, but he's just so random. And I think you can be so consumed or so distracted by his overreaction because it gels nicely with his overreaction in episode 3 and how he like wrangled up the little mob of people to make a woman of color. I mean, she was annoying, but like,
yeah, she was still white, woman of color. Like, yeah.
To have her sit on the side of the road, you know, crying. The way he was acting was like, of course he's doing this. He did it in a much quieter way in episode 3. But now he's just like, the whole mob is in him, you know, like whether it's real or not, but like, he's such an interesting character, but he's also extremely familiar. I put him in the same category as like, and I know that you've experienced this because you're a Black girl in America, being like the only Black girl, but like around white girls. And mm-hmm. when you get that compliment, like there's a couple of them, there's you're pretty for a Black girl. And then there's also, oh my God, you're so pretty, where it's kind of threatening.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to cut those lips right off your face and put them on mine. Like it's like this weird thing that they do. And it goes in with the theme that we, like you said it, and it was probably in episode 2 where you were like, to put on blackness, where I was like, they're always treating us just like this little thing. Like we can kind of be quantified and like, mm-hmm. this is what Black is. So still just not completely human.
And it's just an idea. It's an idea. It's a costume. It's a plaything. It's something right. that can be manipulated and distorted and used and exploited, but it's not ever human.
It's not ever human. You love it and you hate it, and you hate that you love it and you hate that you can't be it. You want to be it, but when it suits you and it's time to not be it, you can take it off because, you know, Black face paint comes off. You know, you can code switch. You can, and the way he is, has inserted himself in, and they have stupidly let him in, but he's in as a typical sycophant hanger on where it's obvious like you're a fan, but is he? Because he also hates them.
Yeah.
I think he just hates them. He's like using, like in episode 3, he's like using all the language to ingratiate himself to Darius, just like letting him know that he has his back. Y'all never have our backs.
No.
And if you do, it's because you're about to stab it or take it off and put it on as your own back. And then say that it's your back.
Like, yeah, it's to use it to make money off of.
Dangerous. And well, let's wait until we get to that part. So we made it to the scene. Okay, so Wiley's on stage. It's on the get the fuck off the stage. Hey, before it goes out. And then we have Darius dancing like a Muppet.
He's having such a good time.
He's having a good time, but have you seen Sorry to Bother You?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm pretty sure he was doing that same dancing because there's a weird club scene in that movie. Because I was like, why do I feel like I've seen him do this? But you made me wonder, does this nigga dance like this? Or is this like a part of his reel? And it's like a thing that like everybody, like when an actor can like secretly play the banjo and you notice that every part they have, the character can play the banjo. Another thing that I noticed, did you notice when Paperboy went out there and was rapping, what the voice sounded like?
Yeah, it was Donald Glover's voice.
Okay,
Donald Glover's song.
Gambino.
Yeah.
Like the first time I was thinking, oh, he must have some kind of like auto, like mic distorted. The second time I was like, that's that nigga. And I thought it was funny that they had him mouthing it. Like, oh,
yeah.
It's like, that's your song. They're so stupid.
The only thing I did not like about that scene is I wanted them to show his actual song lyrics, because with other music, like with background music that's played on the show, they will play the lyrics because the lyrics are relevant to what's happening in the scene. And mm-hmm. so I did want to hear the lyrics they were singing rather than try to read them on Donald Glover's lips, because I, you know, you couldn't actually hear them clearly. Okay, so wait a minute, because I have the episode pulled up here. He goes on stage, he does the performance, they're rocking out, Darius is rocking out, and then we cut to after the show, and they're all tearing up the green room looking for this phone. Ern believes it's the little cancer kid. He goes and investigates the cancer kid. We talked about that. But then he goes back, he comes back into the room and he sits down and Sox is there. And it's Sox who suggests that Wiley is the culprit.
He does all of this suggestion.
Yeah, so he's kind of orchestrating it, you know, and they, again, like you said earlier, why is he there? You know, because they're none the wiser. They're just like, yeah. Why do they trust this dude? I don't understand it. Where's really their trust coming from?
Assault against character. I'm a little annoyed. Like, come on, y'all don't. I don't know. This isn't loyal to who they are.
No. So that feels a little off. So anyway, they get on the phone with Wiley. Wiley is. The first time I watched it, I was like, what the hell is he all suspicious for? But then I think about it, it's like, okay, some guy calls me out of the blue claiming to be associated with Paperboy. I don't know them. I've never heard from them. He has a right to be suspicious, you know. He still comes down to the venue anyway. I wanted to note the microaggression that Ern suffers there is when he goes to Folk and he says, hey, we've had some property that's stolen. Folk is like, he's just very nonchalant about it.
Does not care.
And I feel like if it were a white performer or anybody else, then they'd be like, okay, we need to contact security. We need to do this. I think he would jump to action. I think he's just like, oh, it's black people. They're always losing stuff or whatever. Whatever white folks think about black folks when something happens to them.
Yeah. Like, he's probably involved in something. It's probably beef.
Yeah, you know, whatever little assumptions that were made, he made them. And so then this Wiley character, I appreciated how Ern was just like, because first of all, how does the uncle not have his nephew's phone number? How? But then Ern, quick thinking, he sees that the resume is on the guy's desk. So, you know, he goes and makes the call. Wiley ends up down there and they question him. What stood out to me about this interaction, besides like good cop, bad cop, and devastated cop, is why the uncle assumes that this 32-year-old man is 19. And I think about all the times where white men are infantilized, especially when they've committed a crime, then suddenly they're kids.
But also, that dude does look 9 years old.
He does look young. But at the same time, like, so does Ern. But
yeah.
If it were Ern in a position, he's a man. You know, if it's a 13-year-old black kid in that position, oh, he's a man. If it's a 6-year-old black girl, it's a fully grown woman.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to take time out to be pissed off at that. You know, I had to walk away. I'm day drinking right now. I'm day drinking.
So. What are you drinking? Oh,
California Reach Pinot Grigio. $5 at Target. It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been drinking this wine called Ménage à Trois. It's good.
You know, speaking of wine, we have a word from our sponsor.
Black excellence. When you're compelled to prove yourself over and over again.
Yeah, that's me.
Black excellence.
Sure, you pulled a solid 3.9 this semester, but next semester, you're looking for 4.0.
I try.
Black excellence.
You started high school at 12.
Yeah.
Finished college at 19. And at 21, you're on your way to a master's degree.
Look at you, girl.
Go on, girl. You're poised and ready to join other strong black women in taking over the world and training less qualified white people to be your boss.
Wait, what?
Black excellence is handcrafted in our vineyards in New Orleans. What are vineyards doing in New Orleans? Overachieving. And that's why Black Excellence Wine is made especially for us. Because we stay showing out here. We got to, or else. I have a nice tall glass of Black Excellence. You about to need it.
I thought Black Excellence was...
Black excellence
is wine.
Black excellence. Girl, it's just wine.
Yeah, I initially hate Wiley. And upon first viewing, I hate Wiley all through this exchange. I'm like, why are you acting like you don't know what the fuck is going on? Come up off that phone, nigga. Like, I'm just like, give me the... I want to be like Al, like, yeah, I'm gonna beat this dude. Yes, beat this dude. Beat the fucking phone out of him.
I said the same thing. Beat shit out of him.
Yes, beat the shit out of him.
You will find it then.
Yes. When he lied and said he didn't have a phone, but then in the next scene, he pulls out his phone and texts his uncle to bring him the guitar.
That's why I was like, you do have his number. Otherwise, it would have been like, what's this unknown number asking me? Like, what guitar?
So, what? They're interviewing him. This fool lied and said he didn't have a phone when he did. They keep on trying to get the truth out of him. And then he literally, like, auditions in front of Paperboy, pretty much. Has a guitar. It was a nice song. It was very thoughtful. And I felt like Alfred was personally touched by it. And
But I think it may have been because those were his lyrics to something.
You think so?
I think he was taunting him. And I'll tell you why. You remember season 2, episode 2, I think, a link to it. The acoustic version of rap, that was a thing.
Paperboy, Paperboy, all about that Paperboy.
That is going in the show notes. I already have it queued up. There's two different articles. One about the actual, she was a real YouTube artist, but she didn't do that. But she wasn't, like she's a real person. I just got this feeling that he was singing more unreleased lyrics. But the way it touched him, but the way he was tearing up, he was in my opinion, I think he was containing himself. Cause I think that's something that he wrote, just like the other thing, the box top Chevy and the rose with the thorn, because Wiley starts saying, such and such happened. And my mom moved me and my sister here after this girl, Rosie, broke my heart. He was still taunting him. He was just like switching it up. And then he starts singing. And this dude is crazy enough to do that. He's sitting there singing with feeling and passion, in my opinion, Paperboy's lyrics. He also did this whole thing where I feel like you and I are the same. He's like,
well, they have the same birthday, which I was just like, yes, Taurus Power.
Yeah, I was like,
on my birthday. Yeah. April 28th.
But he kept saying, we are this, like, he did everything but say, I am you and you are me and we are me. And he says all that and then goes into like this chick named Rosie, which is almost the same name. He just like conjugated it a little bit. And the way Paperboy had the tears was he was resigned. It's like, this is my shit. I'm not getting it back. It was like the restrained version of the glare that he does so well. Like when he's like, oh, and like, he's just like, bruh. But he was just sitting there. And to me, that's why he just gave up. You know, so it's like Socks had to have been like, Socks had the phone, but they know each other. Like he knows.
You think
that
he knew Wiley?
Mm. Yeah, because Wiley knew shit too.
Yeah, I was like, how did he know his phone number?
Because they know each other. They know each other. And then I also wondered if. So like that's Wiley's nephew. He hasn't seen him in a while. Socks is sketchy as fuck. We don't know who Socks is. Socks could have been in the same juvenile thing. He's a scammer. He is a scammer. So Wiley just being there, like, think about how he was just kind of there. Like, Socks is smart enough to, like, like how we scammed our way into the pool. All right. So like Wiley like has the confidence, but also he has a person on the inside in Socks who knows how not to draw too much attention to himself, where people are like, oh, that's Socks's friend. But if he was in juvie and he's still up to shenanigans, they have figured out how to, like, I would not be surprised if he met that boy in juvie or something. Like, and maybe the Wiley dude, I mean, maybe the other guy, like, is his uncle. Like, that makes sense. It could have been like, hey, like, we're going to be at such and such. Oh, like, isn't that your uncle's place? I don't know. But Wiley knew shit too.
To what end, though? Like, how are they benefiting off of this?
They're putting blackness on, because Socks almost said nigger, but had the sense enough to act as if he knew why he shouldn't. Like, he didn't do it like the other people where it's like, nigger. He did it in the way that every comedian has retold that joke. Like, oh, because it was actually funny. Like when he's like, "Nah, oh, very good." It's like, oh yeah, because Sox knows, because Sox approached Darius. Sox understood why what the MK girl said was so, you know, was so
problematic.
He's an ally. So of course he's gonna, you know, and then he makes sure to apologize to Al, like, you know, like sometimes I just get, he is not stupid. He's been doing this 4 years. And if Wiley is 33 or something, he's old. Sox is old as fuck too, which would explain his fucking hairline.
Well, like, yeah, he does have a tragic hairline.
He has a hairline of somebody who's like, I am the crypt keeper. Like, if you put him in like an old timey suit with like the literal bow tie, like holding, he's like, he and Wiley know each other. They know each other. And it's kind of like if you work at a club somewhere and I'm coming and you like leave, like you put a little thing in the door so I can get in. Like they know each other because he has scammed his way in, and for some reason, the crew is just fucking stupid, like, and I don't know, it makes complete sense because we still don't know who Sox is. Sox was in that house with that man. Also, remember when it ended like that and he beat Nando out of his money and he tore down the tree and stuff, you never know, he could be there to just like make mischief. Like Nando could be getting him back. I don't know, but I know I didn't trust when he was just like in the van and they didn't put him out. No. They just kind of like looked and they allowed him to, because he was already hanging out in the house. We don't know who these people are to each other. And now you are on the inside.
When he first said, "I got you," to Darius, I didn't trust him. Like, you know, like anytime, anytime a business says like, "We're the low price leader," now your price is high as hell. Or like, we're fair and balanced. Nah, y'all slanted as hell.
On Insecure. Or, we got y'all. No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Like,
it's white people whiting.
I love, okay, that's mine from now on. I'm stealing that. Whiting is a verb. From now on, you heard it here first on Rap in Atlanta. It's a verb. So, okay, they don't get their phone from Wiley. You know, and they're resigned to the fact that they're never gonna get this phone back. I actually fell asleep watching this episode during the second viewing and then dreamed that Alfred remembered what he was singing, and he was like, "Yes, I remembered." And then I was just like, "Wait a minute, did that happen like in the epilogue of the show or something?" Like, no, it was a dream. But yeah, they drive away. And that's it. And then we see that Sox had the phone all the time. And again, I'm just like, what?
And he throws it away.
He couldn't just give it back or like plant it somewhere in the bus?
No,
like,
because he fucking hates him. It's the rage. He hates Paperboy and also wants to be Paperboy. He wants to wear his face as skin because they are fucking crazy. Because he will never have the swag. He doesn't create culture. He doesn't set the trends. He hates that these people are adoring Paperboy, even as he adores him. We have said this. We have actually called things before the episodes happened. Like, literally, when you said putting blackness on, like, that's what he wants to be right there, but he also wants to destroy it. Because think about it. He's just doing this for some weird little self-thinkers. He didn't even do the thing where he, like, leaked all the shit. Because you don't want to mess up Paperboy's success. You're being a hangers-on now. And I also had this theory. So you remember the scene where he says, because this was before Paperboy's phone disappears, where he says, "You want to hit up a strip club?" And they clown the European strip club, which was really, really funny.
And he said that pissed him off. Very uncomfortable. Yes. And I was just like, okay, is that when he decided to steal the phone? Because that happened before the phone went missing.
Because he does that laugh, like how you said, the same laugh that Will Smith does. Because he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's just looking. I was like, that pissed him off, because that made you feel like you're in the middle of this, like you're in the in crowd, and now they're making fun of you.
Oh, my God. It's
funny. And they made fun of the bodies of these European women because
they don't have
ours are better, like the black and brown or whoever, you know. But also, they're strip club connoisseurs. They're from Atlanta. Like, but it's like, this is a way that you are better than me. I really think it was about egos. It was like, fuck you. I'm going to get my person Wiley.
Did he steal the phone because he was mad, because he was slighted that, you know, that Al and Darius didn't think his suggestion to visit a European strip club was good? Probably.
I think so. I think it gets to the heart of everything. It's like, yeah, I'm obsessed with you. Like, I'm enjoying like being on the in, like the inner circle, you know, of these rappers, but also I'm tribal. You were talking about our women, because they say, me Lord, like, watch me try to clap my ass, but I can't find it. And it was like, he said something like 100 pounds, but we have now titties.
She
and
said, it's like, sprinkle me.
Me, me Lord, sprinkle me. So, you know, that's like a slight. And it reminded him that he was white.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I saw his face, I was like, oh no, he's Will Smith laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I don't think Al would have lost his phone.
I don't think so otherwise either.
It's really, really scary. Like, they're in danger because Sox has already shown, like, he did the white thing of like telling a guy that he was going to kill. Now, before we knew like what was up, it's like there he goes white and acting in a way that he has the privilege to act, but it's going to be associated with Al, which Wiley demonstrates when he said, well, if I turned up dead, people would say that you did it. And Al wasn't even the one that said it. It's him suffering for a white person being comfortable enough to do all this shit, but you're not going to suffer the consequences. Yeah. I think that was clear, like what was happening there. And then of course he's playing stupid. I also wonder too, like if when he kept like wanting to go in, if it was so he could control, like Sox, I mean,
yeah,
so if he could kind of control and like the monitor narrative, like what was happening. Mm-hmm. Because what if Wiley cracks and says, you know, hey, you know, like what if he gives them up? Because I just now see them as two scammers. Like, I don't think that Wiley will show up again, because, or maybe he will, but you know, they made sure to say that he was in juvie. I just think that they've known each other since then. Hell, mm-hmm. They might be brothers. You know, yeah. We already know that Folk is a liar.
No, he said that he moved to Budapest from where? Where was he before?
I don't remember, but he said with his mom and his sister or something, but I don't know. Yeah. He has known Sox for a long time.
That's a great
observation. That's my theory. I'm like, working together. And he wanted to get in that room so he could kind of like monitor like what was happening, throw his shit in, because Wiley's sitting there saying like, oh yeah, but you know, you said that you would kill me, right? Like, you, and he knows like what he's doing. He's also weaponizing the fact that if Al is tied to anything like that, his career is over. He's a big black man in Europe. Like, he's doing the same thing that the lesbians did with the kombucha stand. But just like a reverse way. And what Marshall did last week with like, oh, I'm gonna call the police. Like, they know, like all the reasonable white people know how to switch it. And now, like, you're the same as like the founder of the KKK. Like, it's, I hate them so much. Hate them so much.
I just want to say, great observation. This is why I fucks with you. Great observation.
That's so hard. Oh, so mad at him. Like, when he threw it away, I was like, yeah, this is just about revenge, because he's not even interested in actually taking Paperboy down. Because he could. Like, you could get a hold of a celebrity's thing and just, like you leak their stuff. That's ridicule at best. But he didn't do that. He's not actually interested in truly destroying him, mm-hmm. because he's a leech. And so that would stop everything for him, too.
But, you know, just piggybacking off of everything that you're saying now, like, he understands that Paperboy is relatively new off in the game. So it wouldn't take much to derail him. Because honestly, if we look at the grand scheme of things with Black people, does it really take much to derail us? We were up in arms off of the simplest things, the simplest slights, because it's happening on top of all of this trauma and these slights that have been compounded over time. Right. So one more thing, just like a feather on top of it, and we're ready to explode. And he didn't need to leak anything. He didn't need to, you know, turn it into, you know, a sensationalized thing. All he had to do was take it. And he knew that's all he had to do. And it would send him in a tailspin. And I hate that.
Yeah, they have so much power. It also makes me wonder, like, was that the plan all along? Like, is Wiley gonna go to the trash can and retrieve it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I kind of don't think that it's that kind of show. where like they would keep it up, but I don't know.
I mean,
it just makes me wonder, like, please don't let this season end with like
so many cliffhangers or so many unresolved
or just a scene of like random people like, hey, did you see this? And it just being like this really personal video that every vet has been just like released and like, and everybody's commenting on it. I don't know. Because if we go back to the original thing, like what we've been talking about, how Paper, like, and you just said it yourself, like he has made it, but like he's acting as if he's LL. Like, I have made a lot of money. I have managed to diversify and like I host things. He's acting like he's going to be on top forever, right? And
this nigga is wearing shorts over tights.
Let's talk about the elements.
All right. You're That's So Atlanta.
My That's So Atlanta was the ways in which Al and Darius were strip club connoisseurs, where it's like, if you're going to bring them to a strip club, it better be on because they are from Atlanta. That is the one thing that I will see to Atlanta. I ain't gonna tell you, open my mouth to say nothing to you about strip clubs, because you know. Also, I haven't really frequented strip clubs, so I don't know nothing anyway. But they really, really know. And I think that that is so, that's so Atlanta.
Yeah. You
don't take no Atlanta nigga to no strip club that's not in Atlanta.
As someone who lived in Las Vegas and gone to the strip clubs in Las Vegas and then gone to the strip clubs in Atlanta, Atlanta should not be the number one for strip clubs, because there's a Bible, excuse me, there's a church on every corner. So it just
makes sense.
Okay, it does make sense, but it's also super weird because you got Sin City that should reign supreme in all sorts of debauchery, but Atlanta strip club on lock. Like, the strip club culture in Atlanta is on lock. So I
because it's repression. That's what I'm saying. It makes perfect sense. Sorry. Shut up. Go ahead.
I'll co-sign with you on that. My That's So Atlanta, though, was how Alfred, when he's talking about Rose and what happened with him and Rose, he mentioned that she fucked this dude named Pookie. Every Black person knows someone named Pookie. I have a godbrother named Pookie. Who's your Pookie?
We don't have Pookie, but for some reason, and I don't know if this is just Louisiana or just New Orleans or just the West Bank, there's a Manny boy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we have a Manny boy. But when you see his face looks like he should be named Pookie. So in my mind, I'm like, yeah, our Pookie is Manny boy.
Yeah. Okay. I challenge you, like, to ask like five people, Black people from outside of Louisiana, if they know a Pookie. I will bet you at least 4 out of 5 know somebody.
I'll do you one better, sis. I rap in Atlanta. We can just put that out there on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
Or we can do a TikTok. Oh, we can do a TikTok and tell people to stitch with us.
Okay,
Who is your Pookie? And who that'll be like the, you know, that'll be for this episode.
Girl.
Oh my God, look at us on all cylinders.
Once again, that's why I fucks with you. Okay, so Dariusism, there were so many. I know we both agree when he said, I smell adventure, like, nigga, shut up.
That was the cousin to Destiny. It's like, nigga, you're the only one that smells adventure. You were the only one that's cooking it, that's looking for it.
Adventure smell like? Is it sweet? Is it savory?
It smells like the back of somebody's hand that they finally slap you, like, can you just be with us one time? Niggas are at work. Oh my God. And it's so funny because I had just had the thought of like, I know that Darius must be a good friend because right now he's living his best life. Like, what is his purpose? And so this leads into one of my Dariusism. His purpose is to pray to the rap gods, apparently, before alcohol.
It was such an earnest prayer. It was so heartfelt.
It was heartfelt and it was self-deprecating. He was like, you know, like, I know that, you know, I don't usually do this. Like, it was almost like, I know I'm not worthy to ask you for anything. But it was so, and he was doing that behind the back massaging thing that I've seen like ministers do. It was like a laying on of hands with like a bucking up.
Were they and swaying?
Was receiving it.
Were they swaying?
It was church.
Yeah, it was church.
That's why I'm saying the strip club and the church, like, it's.
Let me Purple bow down.
Dollar being in the Welcome to Atlanta video right after they had the girl pop, and Purple Dollar's like, I'm also here. I'm like, why is he in this video? Because
I'm here on Saturday nights right before Sunday morning sermon.
We need to go ahead and link to Welcome to Atlanta. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play. And Creflo's like, or where the prayers pray.
pray with E and A.
Okay, but my actual one was when he said, devastated cop.
I didn't catch that until the second viewing, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
It's like, good cop. Devastated because you are the reason that Sox is here. No, you know what? No, that was just about Wiley. Sorry. I'm projecting. But we can blame Darius because Darius should have shaken Sox off.
Yeah.
But he got there through the weirdo who's just like open to everything. I guess it's destiny to have this white dude. Like, it's just, this is all Darius' fault. Just like it's Darius' fault that he does not allow Al to back anything up to the cloud.
I was just going to say that. Like, that's how they follow you.
And Al just goes along with it. He's like, he's so exasperated. It's like, you do realize that you can just not listen to him.
Yeah. How is this nigga your spiritual advisor? Like, it's just like, yeah, I read everything by Darius. What? Why?
Which brings me back to wondering about the relationship. I need a Darius episode. You remember that episode from season one where I was like, I wonder if they're fucking.
Yeah. Are they think like, cause we talked about how they've talked all about Atlanta, except the fact that there's this huge gay population. I mean, they kind of talked about the trans population when that episode where they landed in jail, but like, yeah, it's just weird that they...
Because that episode where he answers the door with the gun, but he's also like making cookies. Wait, no. I'm sorry. No, I don't think that's the same episode, but it was just another episode where like Ern is showing up at the apartment. And Darius is salty AF. And that chick is on the couch with Al.
Yes.
And it seemed to go beyond like when you're just sick of somebody just being there. It went beyond that. It was kind of like.
Yeah, because they weren't talking. They weren't on speaking terms. They had beef. And so I don't know. Like, everything they have a relationship?
It's fucking destiny, which is why he's never upset. But you were upset there. Something is weird. Different. And if anybody's going to be like, I don't know if I'm using this term right, pansexual, or like just not have any hangups, it would be Darius. And I could see Al convincing himself that because it's just about pleasure for him, that he's not gay.
Yeah. Your mystical element.
My mystical element, I don't really feel it in my soul, but like just them talking about ghosts, just because that keeps coming up. Al references as long as it's not like what happened in Milwaukee, and then Darius says, I saw a ghost. And he's like, nigga, that was your own reflection. It just seems like it just keeps coming up, and I don't know if it's because Europe is hella old, and so like whenever you're somewhere like that's super historic, like there's like ghosts all up and through New Orleans, like because all the old shit is just, you know, still here. And New Orleans is a pretty European inspired city. So like there was no like thing in this episode, but it just seems like ghosts just keep coming up, you know, like in the episodes with them at least.
Okay, so during this conversation you've led me to believe that my mystical element is not mystical, because like now how Wiley knew Alfred's phone number. The other thing that I would say was mystical is when they start talking about this is not a dream, this is real. And I'm like, that's funny. Y'all are funny, because the last episode was definitely a dream. And the first episode was a dream. So you talking about, yeah, this is not a dream, this is real. Like, are you fucking with us? Your SGR.
When Wiley is singing the lyrics, because in my opinion, that's Paperboy lyrics. And the reason why I believe that is because I believe it's a callback to that white girl, the acoustic versions of rap songs, because they really pay attention to that in the second season. And we will link to it in the show notes where the girl's like, paper boy, because there's a whole genre of that, which we saw that when WAP was hitting. Like there was so many different versions of WAP, you know, that acoustic thing, and they have an opinion on it. Like there's a whole article about like how I found this girl. It was very purposeful. Like we know everything that they do in this show is extremely intentional. And I fit, because when Paperboy heard that, he was pissed. they had just bought weed from somebody, like this really, really good weed. They had like a good meeting, and then he's sitting in the car with Darius. And then the guy's like, yo, help my girl. Cause he thought he was like showing some kind of respect. And when Al sees it, he's like, the fuck is this? And of course, Darius is like, oh yeah, white girls love it. Like he knew all about it. And then Al was like, nope. And it made him so mad. So to come back around, now you're like, your position has improved greatly. Like you are somebody, and like you're on the beginning of like your rise. And to have this kind of like done to you again, but while you're on your second European tour, mm-hmm. That shit got real because nigga was tearing up. Like he was affected by
Yeah,
it.
he was affected. So I felt like my SGR was the moment that happened right before then, because we get a little bit of more insight on Paperboy's frame of mind. He's vulnerable in that moment. You know, he's admitting like that rap wasn't his end goal. It was just something that he was dabbling in. You know, he admits to having writer's block, which is like, I hate when I have writer's block, because I'm just like, but this is what I do. You know, how can I not be able to write? And I figure out ways to push through it, but it feels like I'm trying to write, but three of my fingers have been cut off, you know? Yeah. So it was a very vulnerable moment. I think it was honest. You know, it's like, hey, do you want to know the truth? I need this phone because, you know, if I don't recapture this part of myself, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. and then we also see how much his life has changed. I think he had plenty of source material to derive from, because he was living an authentic Atlantan life, you know, out from his perspective, out on the streets, making money any kind of way, because he couldn't get hired in any other capacity because he's a big black guy. And that's crazy. You know, you're a big black guy, so you can't get a job. And
unless you want to like start Bouncers R Us.
Yeah, you know, and who wants to do that? Especially if that's he could be a very good bouncer.
He would be like a very effective bouncer.
He would, yeah.
And I've said before on the show that he is my favorite body type. Like,
he's hustling.
And I'm always like, you can see my husband be like, yeah, bitch ain't lying. She likes the, I used to play ball. Look. I love it.
But yeah, I think that was a very real moment for him, you know. And so you get to see like his frame of mind in that scene. And I felt for him, which may be the reason why he was kind of disconnected to what Earn was experiencing, you know? And then we haven't even mentioned the fact that Van's not there. And it's kind of a relief that he's not there, because now like I realize that I've witnessed Earn a lot through the lens of Van and wanting him to be more accountable to her. But when you leave that relationship alone, you see the value that he has as a business person, as an individual. And I recognize my connection to him in the experience I've had as a Black person navigating a predominantly white world. You know, with Van, you're just like, nigga, you know? And so I was willing to extend him a lot more grace when Van wasn't in the mix.
But also Van also released him herself.
Yeah.
The last time she was in it, she was like, I'm not Al, like I got it. She was very like, she's seeing him too. Like she sees him, because mm-hmm. he was like, do you need a car? Do you need something? And she was, it was kind of like with her, he could relax, which I think is why he's noticing her again, because Earn would also get into his moments where like maybe it was because he's trying to build a better life, but he ignored her a lot, you know. Yeah. Like he would be like deep in his thing, but she had to tell him like, I'm okay. Like she said, I am not Al, like I'm okay. Like she basically was like, you're good, you did it. Al doesn't even seem to realize how he's acting because he's caught mm-hmm. up in his own thing. But I also think they're commenting on what happens with artists, especially rappers, when, like you just said, he had a lot of source material, but when that isn't your life anymore, then how do you pivot without being called soft or a sellout or like you're losing touch. And the smart thing to do would just be to, like, that's when all the rap becomes about your rims and your tires and like tours. But because that wasn't his first, he wasn't trying to be a rapper, he's going to respond differently than someone who has always wanted to rap. Like, they know how to just write about their surroundings. He didn't have to do that anymore. So like, what do you actually want to do? Which is why his stupid ass needs to listen to Earn and start diversifying shit. Cause maybe you're supposed to just own all the property in Atlanta. Like, you need to be making plans to be able to pivot and for it to look natural.
And I would just say Killer Mike is a great example of that. Yeah. T.I. to a lesser extent. Is Paperboy Killer Mike? I don't think Paperboy is as politically entrenched, because I've gone to political debates and Killer Mike has been the host there. He is very active in the civic community in Atlanta. So yeah, I don't think Paperback has that. I don't think Paperboy. I don't think Paperboy has that.
I'm the literary thug.
Paperback.
Better give me my book back. Better have it by the due date. That is when your local parish or like local government is trying to get kids interested in coming to the library again.
MC Paperback.
Who's cousin to Clippy, that annoying Microsoft? Do you need help saying that in a different way? No.
Never known anyone who appreciated Clippy.
That's why he needed to die. Murdered Clippy. I like to imagine that somebody came like with a sack and just like from behind.
And that is our episode.
Thank you for listening. Rappin' Atlanta is recorded and produced by Nikki Ebo and Nita Charisse. Our theme music is Joy Clark's Galaxy Group, performed by Joy Clark. You can follow this talented artist on Instagram at Joy Clark Music. Our show's artwork is created by Loso Perez, creative director at Prime Vice Studios. You can follow Prime Vice on Instagram at Prime_Vice. You can find us on your favorite podcast player. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. You can follow Rappin' Atlanta on Instagram and Twitter at Rappin' Atlanta.